Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and family members, and those who follow the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam until the end of time. Alhamdulillah, we come together again to continue our series on the reforming of the souls. The next thing we'll talk about, inshaAllah ta'ala, is very important in our road to going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this subject is on the endangered species list. It's rare to find it. Imam al-Sha'rani, he wrote in his book, in the 10th century, he said, I saw one person in my lifetime that had this quality. This is a long time ago. If we look at our lives, especially those of us who are working 9 to 5 or even more than 9 to 5 maybe, what are the times during our work that we look to with happiness? If we're in high school, when I was in high school, I think the only thing I did was study how to count and look at the clock. And I remember some of the teachers, in fact, when I was in the College of Education, they told us to take the clock down, so your students will quit looking at the clock. What is the time that we look forward to? It's break time or lunchtime. When we're going to go home is another subject. But break time and lunchtime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also gave the Prophet breaks 5 times a day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he understand as-salah? How do we look at salah? Salah is what? I gotta do it. Do you pray because you have to do it? Or do you pray because you love to do it? I had a friend, subhanAllah, he memorized 10 juz of Quran in 1 month. In Arabic, with tajweed. People ask, how? Because he love it. Somebody 5 years on 3 juz. Why? You don't love it, akhi. How do we look at our relationship with Allah as something I have to do or something I love to do? How did the Prophet alayhi salatu salam look at salah? A man, he relates in a sound narration. He says, one day we were with the Prophet alayhi salatu salam and we heard him say, Ya Bilal, aqim as-salah, arihna biha. O Bilal, establish the salah and nastarihyan biha. Let us take a break with it. Let us take nuzha. Let's rest. Let's enjoy ourselves. As-salah. Do we look at salah in this way? The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Arihna biha ya Bilal. O Bilal, give us a break with salah. Allow us to rest with salah. Now it became the opposite. Salah, I gotta pray. I don't wanna pray. Prayer will take me away from watching my favorite. You know, yesterday Oprah gave cars to everyone in the audience. I don't want to miss that. Oh, salah will take me away from this. Salah will take me away from that. The Prophet, it was inverted. Salah is going to take me away from the dunya. And that's why the ulama, they used to love salah so much, they used to say, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. That indeed, a salah is from the hereafter. So when you enter into salah, leave the dunya. Because why? You're going into Al-Akhirah. One sheikh in Syria, Sheikh Ahmed Rashid, he relates in Raqa'iq, that there was an imam in Syria and he led the salah for 60 years and never once did he make sajda tasahwa. In 60 years. For us, every week, every day. 60 years he never made the prostration of forgetfulness. The people came to him and they said to him, 60 years you've been the imam and nobody ever saw you. You made sajda tasahwa. How come? He said, when I enter the door of the masjid, I leave the dunya at the door. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say in a sound hadith that perfume and women were made beloved to me. وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. But, and this is kinaya, in balagha. He said, but the sweetness of my eye, meaning the thing that's most dear to me, is as-salah. Ibn Taymiyyah said something about this hadith that's very interesting. He said the ulama of the early generations of the Muslims, the Salaf al-Salih, they did not allow anyone to say this hadith in this way. And we hear it sometimes said this way now. What? That indeed the Prophet said, the thing that's beloved, made beloved to me was women and perfume, and you stop the hadith there. He said, la yujuz. He said, nobody can narrate the hadith like this. They have to say, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. They have to say the hadith in its entirety. Why? To show the maqam of salah, the level of salah. Nobody can say that the thing most beloved, or the thing that was made beloved to the Prophet of Allah, was perfume and women, and stop. They have to say, and the most beloved thing to him was as-salah. And if you want to know the importance of salah, look at the name of salah in the Quran. What's the most important thing to the Muslim in his life? Is what? Before salah, is what? Fadl. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between Allah and salah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and family. Iman. Iman billah. Everything has a means of transportation. If you want to get to work, you take the train, or the bus, or the car. If you want to get to Allah, the transportation is Iman. Iman. Nobody will go to Jannah without Iman. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call salah? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ صَلَوَاتَكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will never cancel what? Your salah? No. When the Qibla was changed, the companions started talking. What about the people who died before us and they used to pray to Bayt al-Maqdis? Is their salah going to be accepted? Then Allah sent the verse, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Indeed, Allah will never cancel your prayers. That's not what Allah said. He said, indeed, Allah will never cancel your faith. He called as-salah iman. Somebody says, why? Iman has three parts. Tasdiq al-qalb, the affirmation of the heart. وَنُطْقَ بِلِسَانِ, to say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدَنَا مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And number three, الْعَمَلُ بِالْجَوَارِحِ, actions. Al-Iman has three parts. The affirmation of the heart, to say it with the tongue. That's why when somebody becomes Muslim, they have to say shahad and actions. As-salah, the same thing. An-niyah, an-niyah is here. Mahaluha al-qalb. And also in salah, you have to what? La salata, there's no prayer without al-fatiha. You have to recite al-fatiha. Of course, the ahnaf, they have some difference on this issue. And in salah, you have to what? You have to move. So just like Iman has three parts, salah has three parts, therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He called as-salah iman. And that's why the Prophet said, between disbelief and polytheism is to leave as-salah. Allah azza wa jal called salah iman. First of all, what are the goals of salah? And this is sometimes where we end. Please stop me when it's time for adhan. The goals of salah. Is salah a job I have to do? Is salah something I just gotta throw it off my back? I'm just gonna pray and get it over with. Is salah something my mother used to grab me by the ear if I didn't do it? What's salah? Are there some objectives for salah? Yeah. وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ لِذِكْرِ. The first goal of salah is the remembrance of Allah. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. Number two, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, prayer keeps away from evil and sin. So if I'm praying, as Sheikh Muhammad Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in Khuluq Muslim, if somebody's doing these things and they see no change in their life, don't blame the salah. As Mutanabbi used to say, قَدْ تُنْكِرُ الْعَيْنُ مِنَ الضَّوْءِ الشَّمْسِ مِنَ الرَّمَدِي. He used to say, the eye rejects the sunlight. Why? Because the eye is sick. Not the sun itself, but the eye is sick. And the tongue, it rejects the طَعْمُ الْمَاء, the good taste of the water. Why? Because the tongue is sick. So the same with us now. Something wrong with salah. A'udhu billah. Something wrong with you, akhi. Something is wrong with you, sister. Not with the salah. So don't go down that road. So if I'm observing salah and I don't see this change in myself, the problem is not in salah. The problem is with me. And that's why it behooves me to look into myself. And now in this ummah, we have a problem. We look at everyone else but ourselves. And the Prophet said, Tuba, paradise for the one who's busy about themselves and not with the others. Don't mean you neglect the evil around you, but the main focus is yourself. Salah is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sharia, they established certain rules which preserve the tranquility of the salah. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if If the dinner is served and the time of salah comes, eat the food. Don't pray. We know in Surah An-Nisa, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون. Don't come to the prayer when you're drunk. And don't pray until you understand what you say. Many people, when they look at this verse, they say, ah, this is one of the verses in the tartib of Tahrim al-Khamr. This is one of the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is slowly, you know, eradicating alcohol from the community. Yes. But you cannot eradicate, and you take a lesson here that we talked about in the first lecture. Islah al-Nufus and Islah al-Mujtama', they have to go hand in hand. The Islah of the person, the reformation of the person's soul, and the reformation of the society around them have to go together, although the soul is the most important. Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting khamr in a very, very subtle way. But at the same time, what's the other lesson? Why shouldn't you pray when you're drunk? Because if you pray when you're drunk, you won't have khushu'. Better to have khushu' when you pray. So the salah, being protected by the sharia. Why? To gain from the salah. To take the khushu' from the salah. Not just to pray and pray for no reason. Imam An-Nasa'i, he relates that one day the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he looked toward the sky. And he said, this is the time when the knowledge will be raised up. So somebody from the Ansar, he said, O Messenger of Allah, will the knowledge be raised up and the hearts are still firm and strong? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, shall I not inform you of the first thing to be taken from the people? And he said, yes. And the Prophet said, Al-Khushu'. Al-Khushu' fi salah. Concentration and reverence for Allah in the salah. And the Prophet said, it will continue until one day you will not find even one khashi'. One person who when they pray, they have this khushu'. This is the second thing we want to talk about today, and maybe after Isha we have to continue. Al-Khushu'. Al-Khushu'. Why don't we taste a salah? Why don't we enjoy the salah? Why don't we feel the presence of the salah in our life? Because we lack al-khushu'. And I'm the first one from amongst you. Imam al-Tirmidhi, he relates from Abu Darda, that a man, he said to Abu Darda, he asked Abu Darda some questions. And then Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, if you wish, I will inform you of the first knowledge to be raised up from the people. And then he said, what al-khushu'? Concentration in salah and humility and reverence in salah. In a sound hadith, Imam al-Suyuti, he says the hadith is hasan. To back up the first two hadith I mentioned, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, the first thing, يَرْفَعُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ الْخُشُوعُ. The first thing that's going to be taken from this ummah is al-khushu'. Al-khushu' fi salah. The early generations of Muslims, as-salaf al-salih, they used to consider somebody of khushu' as somebody from the people of Jannah. They used to consider somebody who has al-khushu' and we're going to define al-khushu' soon, as somebody from Jannah. Qais ibn Ibad, he says that one day I was in the masjid in Medina, فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ, and there was a man بِوَجْهِ أَثَرٌ مِنْ الْخُشُوعِ. There was a man who came into the masjid and in his face was the sign of khushu'. And the people said, هَذَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The righteous people in the masjid in Medina, they said, this is a person from the people of paradise. Abdullah bin Zubair, Mujahid, he states that when he used to pray his prayer, it was though he was stuck like a stick. He wouldn't move. And Abu Bakr used to be like that. And Mujahid, he said, huwa al-khushu'u fi salah. This focus in salah, this looking down in salah and not moving around, is how he described Abu Bakr and Abdul bin Zubair. Keep in mind that the main emphasis on the series is application. Because as we mentioned, it's important that when we talk about Islah al-Nufus or Tazkiyah al-Nafs, we have a practical image in front of us. For example, al-khushu', everybody here can practice al-khushu'. Any place, any time, in your office, in your home, in the mall. I saw one time a sister praying in the mall, mashallah. But anywhere, al-khushu' can be practiced. The things that we have mentioned so far can be practiced by every ordinary Muslim. They don't have to be done by special people. Everybody can do them. It's important that we realize this. We said that the ulama, they used to consider al-khushu' as part of knowledge. And what that means is nowadays, for example, people have knowledge bidun al-khushu'. People have knowledge without al-khushu'. People have knowledge without the reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned al-khashya, this fear and reverence of Allah with al-ilm. And that's why the ulama said, Abdul ibn Abbas and others, that if you learn and your knowledge doesn't increase this khashya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know you haven't learned. And if you learn and you don't practice what you learned, because practicing is a sign of this khashya, this khushu' with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that what you learned is only kibr. And that's why they used to say, and it's related that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the meaning of the hadith, al-ilm al-ilman, there are two types of knowledge. The knowledge on the tongue and the knowledge on the heart. The knowledge on the tongue is a proof against the son of Adam. But the knowledge of the heart, we know, is al-khushu'. So ilm with khushu'. That's why it's important to study with a shaykh. Somebody who can teach you and build you. Of course, not all of us can. So if you can't, read books, listen to cassettes, the computer, attend conferences. But the best, al-ilm, min sadr ila sadr. The knowledge comes from the heart to the heart, from the chest to the chest. Because when you learn with those blessed people, you see the khushu in them. And it's transferred to the student of knowledge. And that's why now we find a lot of people with knowledge, but very few people with khushu' fi al-ilm. Ahmed bin Hanbal, he said about waqi', the same one who, al-Shafi said, shakawtu waqi'an an su'an hifthi fa'arshadni ila tark al-ma'asi faqala inna al-ilma nura wa nura Allahi la ya'at al-asi. The same waqi', Ahmed bin Hanbal, he said about him, he said, ma ra'aytu qat, I never saw anyone like al-waqi' fi al-ilm. I never saw anybody like him in knowledge. And he said, wal-hifth, and his memorization. And he said, he had khushu' and wa'a' in his ilm. But al-ilm with khushu', it means that the person that has knowledge has adab with the knowledge. That's why Abdul ibn Mubarak used to say that his sheikh told him, wallahi, we are in need of a little adab more than we are in need of a lot of knowledge. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a prophet, what did he tell him to do? Wakhla'a alayk, take off your shoes. Why? If you want adab, if you want ilm, you have to have adab. Take off your shoes. Why is taking off his shoes? Al-adab, as my teacher told me from Yemen. He said, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa, take off your shoes? Then he talked to him, then he made him a prophet. Because before you can knock on the door of knowledge, you have to have the door of al-adab. People with knowledge, but no adab, akhi. And it's dangerous. And that's why Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has in his ihya, ulama al-dunya wa ulama al-akhirah. The ulama of al-dunya and the ulama of al-akhirah. The scholars of this life and the scholars of the next life. And he mentioned these qualities of these people. How they have adab with the people. SubhanAllah, when I was in Cairo, there's a sheikh, the Sheikh Taha Rayan. He's over 80 years old. He's the head of the Maliki madhab there in Cairo. The sheikh is an alim. He's over 80 years old. He's an Azhari. And the sheikh, he gives the sharh of the Muwatta with a sanad. But SubhanAllah, when he teaches, he's so humble. I ask one person, who in Egypt can you study from? You can take the ilm and the adab. He said, only I know one person, Sheikh Rayan. Doesn't mean he's the only one, but that's the one he knows. So I went to his dars. And that Sheikh, subhanAllah, when I was in the dars, They have what's called in Egypt the bawab. We have bawab in other Muslim countries, the door. The guy is at the door. It takes your money all the time. And they brought with them drinks for the students, around 70 students. So the bawab, the sheikh is talking. He's given a dars. وَيَشْرَحْ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. And the bawabs is walking around with this colored water, giving it to the students of knowledge. Then after I saw everybody drink, who you think paid for the drinks? The sheikh. Subhanallah. I saw him pay for the students of knowledge to drink. Why? Al-adab. And you can go and talk to him, shake his hand. He's not, you know, I'm Sheikh Rayan, I'm over 80 years old, I have ijaz. No, I'm Sheikh Rayan, I'm nothing. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرُ مِثْلُكُمْ الْخُشُّ وَذْعِلْمُ. And when he teaches, he focuses. My sheikh from Senegal, he told me when Sheikh Husri came to Senegal, he said he was a young boy. And he said, Sheikh Al-Husri, rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Al-Husri, if you want to know his level, some people said Sheikh Al-Husri is the modern Abu Bakr. Well, Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, he collected the Quran. Sheikh Al-Husri, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was in Egypt, somebody came to him and said, now the enemies of Islam, they started to write the Quran and change the Quran. The first one to record the Quran from Al-Fatiha to An-Nas was Al-Husri. As Abu Bakr, he ordered the Quran to be compiled in its complete form, in written form. Al-Husri is the one who ordered the Quran to be recorded in its complete form. So they said Al-Husri is the Abu Bakr of the Mu'assirin. And not only did he record it in Hafs, Warsh, Duri, Qalun, Qisa'i, about 6 or 7 qira'ah he recorded. Why? To protect the Quran. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. My teacher told me Sheikh Al-Husri, when he came to his father's madrasa in Senegal in the 60s or 70s, and my teacher was young, my teacher's father told Al-Husri, test my son. So Al-Husri said to him, okay, wa najmi idha hawa. And they read in Warsh. And my teacher said, alhamdulillah, it's easy. For us, najm maybe is hard, but for him it was easy. His father said, no. يُصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ. It's the hardest verse in Quran for many people in Surah Nisa. The verses of inheritance. So my teacher, he said, I read to Al-Husri in Warsh, يُصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِذَكْرِ مِثْلَ حَظِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. He said, Husri, start crying. He said, I can never imagine people in Africa read Quran like this in this area of Senegal. Then the thing that I will never forget, he told me, then Al-Husri, he read the Quran for us. He said, Wallahi ma ra'aytu, I never saw anybody read Quran with khushu of Husri. He said, when he reads, he's lost in his qira'ah. Like he forgot everybody around him. And he's just what? With the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people of khushu with ilm are rare. They are there. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Muhammad Hassan al-Shinqiti told us, whenever I went to visit Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala, he said one of two things would happen. Either I found him yabki min khashyati lah, crying from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when I left him, ana abki min khashyati lah. When I left sitting with him, I would leave crying min khashyati lah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Rabbani, the one who combined the khushu' with ilm. And now a lot of shabab, they have ilm, they read some books, they read some small pamphlets, listen to some cassettes. Alhamdulillah, they got some ilm, but this ilm with what? Or maybe set with a sheikh, but the ilm without khushu'. It's a disaster. Abdullah ibn Aun, one of the great, great, great historical figures of our ummah, to give you this concept of khushu' and ilm. A person, he observed the dars of Abdullah ibn Aun, and he said, subhanallah, his students used to sit and listen to him as though there were birds sitting on their heads. Anas ibn Malik said that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the bird could have sat on their head, they would never have flinched. Because the khushu' in the dars, they focus and they listen to the dars and focus on the dars, and they have khushu' in their ilm. So we'll spend some time briefly on the introduction of al-khushu'. Al-khushu' in every aspect of our life. With our families, sometimes we want to lose our temper. Khushu' akhi, control yourself. Have this reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With our friends, with the youth, with the young people in the masjid. Sometimes I saw the youth do something wrong and people start to ishtamunahum and destroy them, akhi. Have khushu' akhi. Correct him, but correct him with what? With rahmah. One day, Umar ibn Khattab, he was walking down the street of Medina and he saw one boy like that. And he said to him, what? He said, lift up your head, because the khushu not in this, the khushu in your heart, but how we dealt with him. How we deal with people, there should be khushu in our actions, that we're focused and have this reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the khushu? We talk about al-khushu fi salah. Imam al-Qurtubi said, al-khushu is the condition in the soul, which appears on the limbs of the person with humility and tranquility. The person that has al-khushu', it comes from the heart and it lands or rests on the limbs. So they have this tranquility and this reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qatada, who was a great student of Anas ibn Malik, he said that al-khushu' fil qalb, the khushu', it's in the heart, and it comes out when the person prays that they lower their gaze. Some ulama said, the one who's khashi', the one who has this khushu', is the one who upon them you see the effect of humility and reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a house which has crumbled because it's old. It's very weak and humble. In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with salah and sabr. And most ulama said sabr here is siyam, fasting. But the condition to benefit from these two is what? It's difficult except for what? وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. The people of khushu'. The people who have this reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called the believers al-muflihun. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the first quality is what? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صُلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Indeed, successful are the believers, those who have khushu' in their salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدَعُونَنَا رَغْبًا وَرَهْبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he described Al-Anbiya alayhim salam as the people of khushu'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give you a more maybe easier way to understand al-khushu'. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the face of those who rejected Allah will be what? هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, has the day of al-ghashiyah, or the event of al-ghashiyah, al-qiyamah, and al-ghashiyah means to cover you. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَ. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ الْغِشَاءَ هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. The ghashiyah, because that day gonna cover you with what? Al-khawf. People are going to be covered with fear. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. On that day, some face is going to be خَاشِعَ. خَاشِعَ mean what? Drop low like that. خَاشِعَ. To be low. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he described the earth. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Fussilat, that from the signs of Allah azza wa jal, you're going to see the earth خَاشِعَ. I mean the earth is tranquil. Nothing on it. Nothing there. Then after some time, the water comes and comes the life to the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were chastised by Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has not the time come that the believers' hearts, what? Had this khushu' from the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah here, the ulama said, is Quran. When this verse came, the companions considered as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was waking them up. Have khushu'. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, it was only 4 years after we accepted Islam and this verse came and woke us up to have this reverence and this khushu' with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse, some ulama said, came when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam arrived to Medina. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told the companions, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging you, or the meaning of it is trying to push you to what? To have this khushu'. فقالوا عند ذلك خشعنا يا رسول الله. When they heard that, they said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, we have this khushu'. We take this khushu' upon ourselves." Some ulama said that this verse pushing the companions to have khushu' came in an interesting situation. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ said, "Relate to us something." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, "Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the best narration or best conversation. Another time the companion said, "Narrate to us a story." Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he sent what? "Nahnu naqussu alayka ahsan al-qasas." Indeed, we have sent to you the best story found in Surah Yusuf. And some of them said, "Remind us." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, "Alam ya'ni lil-ladhina amanu an takhsha qulubum li dhikrillah." Has not the time come that the believers, their hearts were affected by the khushu' to the dhikr of Allah? This verse, if you look historically at many of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, many of them like Fudail ibn Iyad, they went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Malik ibn Dinar, because they heard this verse. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And Fudail ibn Iyad, he was a thief. He was a stick-up man in a desert. He heard this verse and he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malik ibn Dinar, he was a drunk. And he saw in his dream, because he had a daughter and she died, he saw in his dream that a snake was chasing him. And he ran from the snake. And he found an old man. And he said to the old man, "Help me from the snake." The old man said, "You made me too weak. Go over there." He said, "I kept running and running. And then I saw the cliff of the hellfire and I almost fell into it. And the hellfire said, 'You're not from us.'" He said, "I fell back in his dream. I saw the snake coming and I ran again. I saw the old man again. I said, 'Hey, help me out.' The old man said, 'You made me too weak.' He said, 'Go over there.' He said, 'I ran, I saw a beautiful castle, and suddenly children came out of the castle, and I saw my daughter who died.' And she said to him, 'What? أَلَمْ يَأْنِينِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And he repented to Allah. When he asked her about the dream, he said, "What's the snake?" She said, "The snake is your bad deeds." He said, "What was the old man?" She said, "It was your good deeds. You made them too weak to save you." When he woke up, he became, alhamdulillah, Malik bin Dinar was one of the famous people of this ummah. Why should we study khushu' and we stop here, inshaAllah? Number one, between you and Jannah is khushu'. SubhanAllah, just between you and Jannah is al-khushu'. Al-khushu', the only thing between me and Jannah, SubhanAllah, I should do it. If it's the only thing, this thing is between me and al-Jannah, then I should do it. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said in an authentic hadith, "Whoever makes wudu, فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءِ," and they make their wudu in an excellent way, meaning they observe all the fara'it, all the arkan, and all of the mustahabat of wudu and the sunan, this is أحسن الوضوء. ثُمَّ صَلَّ رَكْعَتَيْن. Then this person, he prays two rak'ah, or she prays two rak'ah. And they face the qibla, and they concentrate in this salah. The paradise became an obligation for them. Ya subhanallah. Between you and Jannah is two rak'ah. Allahu Akbar. Between the Muslim and Al-Jannah is two rak'ah with khushu'. It doesn't mean you pray two rak'ah with khushu' and you do something else wrong. Because they said the one who became khashi to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never become khashi to something other than Allah. So once you tasted the khushu', you're like a drug addict. You can never leave it. And that's why they said if you deviate, maybe you didn't really taste it. And that's why the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to say about them, the most beloved place that they used to look at is what? SubhanAllah, you ask somebody now, what's the most beloved thing to look at? He's going to say some girl. Okay? His new LCD HD TV. "Oh man, I love to look at my new TV. 57,000 inches, akhi. Bigger than the window for the sisters, man. I love it, akhi. I love just to sit there. I even turn it off. I just stare at it." Or sometimes we get some nice clothes and we hang them, right? People know who I'm talking to. We hang them in the closet and we look, "Ooh, Eid. I'm be looking good for Eid. I want to look good, akhi. I mean, look good, but for the right reasons. Ooh, look at my new car. SubhanAllah, I love my car. Ya Allah, you can just go and look at it for hours." Our children. All of us love to look at our children. What the Sahaba was the most beloved thing to look at was the place of sujood. They used to love to look at the place of sujood in salah. Subhanallah, look at us now. That's why I said yesterday, if the Sahaba was to be alive now, they will lock him up and throw away the key. Because he's going to be a different personality than anyone around us. So between us and Jannah is al-khushu'. Number two, it's a key to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-khushu', it brings about rahmatullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, indeed the Muslim, this hadith is sound, when they make wudu and they make their wudu well, and they pray their five daily prayers, then this person, he will be surrounded by the wings of the angels. Rahmatullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, who's ever, and if you read in Surah Zumar, inshallah tomorrow we'll talk about the verse, whose ever skin shivers, and they're a believer, out of their reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his sins, her sins, will fall away from him or her like the leaves they fall away from the trees. The ulama used to teach this hadith and take the tree and do like this. Because why? Al-khushu' with ilm. They want the student to see it, not just to hear it. The last one is al-khushu' is what's between us and the reform of the ummah. And the condition of the ummah is directly reflected in its khushu' and salah. And its khushu' and other things. Go to the haram, akhi. People can leave the haram. People can be in the haram. In Mecca, hamakallah. People can be in the haram in Mecca and immediately they can start to push people. Or steal. Or push women. Or yell or scream. Subhanallah, akhi, if you can have khushu' in this place, where are you going to have khushu'? If this reverence for Allah is not there, where's the reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if you've been to Hajj and you saw what happens in Hajj, it is a reflection of the ummah itself. Our condition. And this is directly related to al-khushu'. Always rushing. Subhanallah, in my lifetime, I don't know any person who's ever been in a wreck twice. Statistically, it has to be impossible. I lived in one Muslim country. Two of my friends, in less than 6 months, were in two separate crashes. Why? Because we are always rushing. No khushu'. Pushing, pulling, honking, screaming, yelling. Why al-khushu'? So al-khushu', it is directly related to the reform of the ummah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, because Allah says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar," that the salah keeps away from evil and wickedness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the first thing people are going to be called to account on the day of judgment is a salah. If the salah is sound, everything is sound. If the salah is corrupted, everything is corrupted. Because the salah that we have in our life is our reflection of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You dial up to get online. How you dial up with your Lord? Through salah. And you know the status of Allah according to your khushu'. Where? In your life. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ لِنَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. I'm with you as long as you establish salah. And one of the meanings of iqam salah is al-khushu' fi salah. To have this khushu' with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe people listening now, they said khushu' is a very theoretical concept. Something that we hear about the soul, the aql, the relationship between the soul and the aql. How can we make it something that we can all relate to? And sometimes when we hear the stories of amazing people, like we hear some tonight, in their khushu', we say to ourselves, akhi, I'm a housewife, akhi. I'm not going to be like this guy. Or I work at Cisco. I'm not going to be like this individual. Or I work here, or I do this. I work 20, you know, so many hours a day. Ibn Qayyim said, subhanAllah, something beautiful in Al-Fawa'id, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, maratib al-salah, the levels of salah. People have different stages. He said, number one is the person, when they pray, they don't pray. They pray, but their mind is somewhere else. So the only thing, if you ask them, and maybe sisters with their husbands, they have this a lot. When they talk with the husbands for a long time, and then they feel that the husband has not listened to them, and they say, what did I just say? The only thing we can say is the last sentence. You said this, and you begin with this. Well, I can, what? What's between that? Wallahi, I don't know. Then the sister says, Subhanallah, you don't respect me. She's right, we should listen to them. But shorten also your wa'id. And vice versa. Sometimes the brother, he talks to his wife, then she's gone somewhere else. Then he says to her, what did I say? You said this and this, the beginning and the end. Some people, Subhanallah, salah is like that. What was your salah, akhi? I remember I said, Allahu Akbar. And I remember I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Between those two things, I was blacked out. I don't remember anything. This is a dangerous condition. And he said, this is the first person. When they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not even thinking about Allah. And this is the quality of nifaq. It's a very serious and dangerous quality. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاءُنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, the hypocrites seek to deceive Allah, but He deceives them. And when they stand to pray, they stand so that people will see them. يَرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَيَعْذَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ. And they only remember Allah, what? A little. For some of us, when we pray, we didn't remember Allah at all. And that's why Rasulullah said, seek refuge in Allah from khushu' al-nifaq, the khushu' of hypocrisy. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what's the khushu' of nifaq? What's this khushu', this reverence of hypocrisy? He said, khushu' al-badan, the reverence on the outside of the body, but the heart somewhere else. This is the khushu' of nifaq. That's why they said one of the signs of nifaq is to have outward appearance, but inwardly is the worst. So nifaq. Number two, Ibn Qayyim said, the one who wants to have khushu' with Allah. Yesterday a brother came to me after Salatu Isha. He said to me, Wallahi in Isha I wanted to have khushu'. But he became so busy thinking about khushu'. He started thinking about khushu'. Forgot salah, thinking about khushu. Ibn Qayyim said, وَهَذَا مُجَاهِدْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said that this is the one who's making jihad lillah. Because why? They're fighting, he's trying. She's trying to have khushu. Sometimes in, sometimes out. Sometimes in, sometimes out. Sometimes in, sometimes out. He said this is mujahid fi sabilillah. This is somebody who's struggling to Allah. You can see the mercy of Islam, alhamdulillah. I think the vast majority of people, they fell in that one. Maybe for example, for some time I have khushu. Then I start thinking, my wife, khushu' again, then khushu' again, khushu' again. And we'll talk about an agent which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in salah to help you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never legislated anything to His servants except what? Huwa ar-Rahman. He helped them do it. He'll not order you to do something and not give you the means to do it. Because He's Malik yawmiddin. He's going to judge you. And He's not going to be unjust to you. And He loves you. Huwa al-wudud. He wants the khair for you. So not only did He tell you to do something, but He gives you the answers to the test. How to do it. So this person in salah, مثلاً Allahu Akbar. Then suddenly this sister says, where's my baby? And where's my child? And then she hears a voice. Oh, was that? Oh, wait. Okay. خشوع في الصلاة. Did I leave the stove on? خشوع في الصلاة. Then back to خشوع. Then did that sister say something wrong to me? خشوع في الصلاة. Did I leave the keys in the car? خشوع في الصلاة. This person is one who's struggling to Allah. And there's salah. The third one he said, and I'm summarizing, he gave more, but I'm putting it into summarization, is the one he said, when they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they forgot everything except Allah. يَقُومُ بَيْنِ يَدَيْ رَبِّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And they became lost in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, in ibadah. And we'll talk about this insha'Allah ta'ala. Let's look at one of the people of khushu'. And after we give this example of somebody of khushu' from the Salaf, then we'll give you some how to have this khushu' with Allah. Because I'm sure after hearing all of the rewards, Jannah itself, rahmatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have Allah's mercy, and this and that, I'm sure everybody's saying, I want to have khushu'. But how? We'll take an example of one of the righteous people. Then after that, we'll go through a salah from the beginning to the end. And we'll talk about some issues that the ulama discussed that will help us have khushu' in our salah. And then we'll talk about some things you can do on a daily basis. Then we'll give you some examples, more examples of those amazing ancestors of ours and how they used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And notice something. As the khushu' of the ummah went down, the condition of the ummah went down. When the khushu' of the ummah was high, the condition of the ummah was high. Allahu Akbar. In the time that the ummah had many khashi'een, the ummah itself was in a good condition. Now, the khashi'een became rare, and the condition of the ummah itself became low. So you can see there's a relationship with this. An example of a khashi'. Don't get scared. But the story is beautiful. And it'll give you some ideas about their salah and how they used to pray and why they were such great people of morality and fidelity. There was a man named Hatim, he was a Zahid, rahimallahu ta'ala, and he came to Isam ibn Yusuf. Isam ibn Yusuf. And Isam, he said to Hatim, Hatim, do you perfect your salah? فَقَالَ لَهُ نَعْمُ. He said, yeah, I try to perfect my salah. And what the word means in Arabic is, do you struggle to continually repair your prayer, to fix your prayer? He said to him, yes. فَقَالَ لَهُ كَيْفَ تُصَلِّي. So, Isam ibn Yusuf, he said to Hatim, tell me how you pray. Listen, subhanAllah, to this beautiful narration of this person. He said, when the time of salah becomes close, I make my wudu. Then I go to the place that I intend to pray, and I sit there and I let my body parts rest there for some time. He said, then I imagine the Kaaba is in front of me. Between my chest is the Kaaba. And I'm standing, when I stand for salah, on sirat. Sirat in the akhirah. Then he said, on my right is Jannah. On my left is Jahannam. Behind me is Malakul Maut. So subhanAllah, listen to his salah. I see the Kaaba in front of me. The Jannah is on my right. Jahannam is on my left. The heaven is on my right. The hell is on my left. And the angel of death is behind me to take my soul. And he said, I imagine as though this is my last prayer. As the Prophet used to say, pray as though this is your last prayer. And I combine in my salah fear and hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how I pray. And I take with me the sabr in the salah. The sabr from what? To keep the khushu'. Then after he gave this description to him, Isami said, is that really how you pray? He said to him, Hatim, hakada salati. This is my salah. Then Isam ibn Yusuf, he said to him, how long you been praying like this? Hatim, he said to him, I've been praying like this for 30 years. Then Isam, he said, wallahi, until this day I never prayed. If I look at how your salah is and your excellence in salah, I never prayed a salah like this in my entire life. Let's ask ourselves a few questions. Number one, sister, number one, brother, have you ever tasted al-khushu'? And this taste is not the taste of the tongue. This is the taste of the qalb. It's not the taste that's found on the tongue. But the sweetness of al-khushu' is tasted in the heart. Did you ever taste in your life al-khushu'? Did I ever taste in my life al-khushu'? This reverence in salah. This reverence in dua. If you want to know al-khushu' fi dua, the khushu' and the dua has some signs. Number one, the tears is coming. Number two, the skin is shaking. Number three, the heart is in bliss. But terrified of Allah. But loving Allah. How can you be terrified of something and love something? This is khushu'. Terror is never linked with love. But for a Muslim, al-khushu', I'm fearful of Allah's punishment. That's why the dua, oh Allah, I'm not good enough for your Jannah, but I cannot handle your adab. I'm not good enough for Jannah, but I cannot handle your adab. فَأَدْخِلْنِي فِي جَنَّتِكَ. So put me in the Jannah. But in salah, do we ever taste this khushu'? Ya subhanAllah, I remember When I first became Muslim, there was a guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma named Ig. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name wrong. From Thailand, he was a Buddhist. فَشَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ وَنَوْرَ قَلْبَهُ فَدَخَلَ فِي هَذَا الدِّينِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to Islam. He became Muslim. He was the only one in his family. And I remember when he first became Muslim, the only surah he learned was Al-Fatiha wal-Ikhlas. Al-Fatiha wal-Ikhlas. This is the person I saw in my life, the first one to taste khushu' that I saw, inshallah. Ramadan came, the night of power came, and he only knows Al-Fatiha wal-Ikhlas. And wallahi al-azim, he prayed from Isha to Fajr by himself. How much Quran he knows? He can't read the Quran, so he can't hold the Mus'haf. So the whole night, I asked the brothers, what was he reading? He said, wallahi al-azim, the whole night he read Al-Fatiha wal-Ikhlas. How many of us, subhanAllah, we memorize one juz of Quran, two juz of Quran, half a juz of Quran? How long do we stand in the night? Here's this guy. He doesn't understand Arabic, but he spent the whole night from Isha to Al-Fajr in Salah with Al-Fatiha wal-Ikhlas, because he tasted something that the tongue can never taste, is khushu' with Allah. He was there. How many of us, 30 years we've been Muslim, 40 years, 50 years, 15 years, and our salah is as barren as a desert because we missed this khushu'. So it behooves us to take it. But some points. Number one, al-khushu' is not easy. Don't think suddenly you can stand up, khalas, I'm khashi' lillah. It's not how it works. Hasan al-Basri is one of those people, sometimes you're scared to say how he was to other people, because when they hear his stories, they say, Ya Allah, I can never be like this guy. Sometimes when they hear his stories, they get frustrated. This person is a first-round draft pick, as they say, top 10, guaranteed contract. Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, one day a man, he came to him and said, A mu'min anta? Are you a believer? He said, if you mean, Alladhina amanu billahi wa ma unzila ilayk, if you mean those people that Allah that believe in Allah and what was sent to Muhammad, قَالَ نَعْمَ أَنَا مُؤْمِنْ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. He said, yes, if you say that the Quran says those who believe in Allah and what was sent to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, I'm a believer. He said, but if you mean those people that Allah said, indeed the believers are those when Allah is mentioned, their heart shakes, meaning khushu', he said, I don't know about myself. And this is Hasan al-Basri, his humility. So al-khushu' is a lofty goal. But we have to remember something. You get what you work for. What does it mean? Ya akhi, ya ukhti. Just take a few steps to Allah with khushu'. Inshallah, you will find it there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum bi'ilmihi azza wa jal. He's with you wherever you are by His knowledge. Just take a step to Him in khushu'. In the beginning, yeah, it's hard. Nothing comes easy, but a little effort. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put, inshallah, nur in your heart. He will make this light in your heart. He will decorate your heart with yaqeen, and you'll find, alhamdulillah, one day it's easy. So we start with the salah. But before we do so, where is the seed of the khushu'? What are the things that keep us from khushu'? What are the things that kept us from tasting the beauty of ibadah, the wonder of ibadah? I remember another story of a Muslim brother who was a gangster, and he used to be a drug addict. And one day, subhanAllah, in Oklahoma after Fajr, I saw him, he was making dhikr and the tears was coming down his eyes. Strong. I said, subhanAllah, he doesn't even understand what he's saying. He feels from his heart what he's saying to Allah, but the tears is coming from his eyes. And his skin was goosebumps in his skin. I said, subhanAllah, this guy is lucky. He tasted al-khushu' with Allah. InshaAllah ta'ala. What are some of the things that kept us from khushu'? The things that kept us from tasting this sweet of sweets. The seed of khushu' is in the heart. The seed of al-khushu' is in the heart. And as we said, the ulama said, the heart is like a mirror. What you put in the mirror, you see back. What you put in your heart, you're going to see it back. If the heart is filled with evil, what comes out is evil. Indeed, in the body, there's a piece of flesh. If it's sound, the whole body is sound. If it's corrupted, the whole body is corrupted. It's the heart. So the main obstruction towards al-khushu' is the heart. Are you with me? You've fallen asleep. Salu ala nabiyillah. Good. So the hard heart. The heart is corrupted. The heart is hard. The khushu', it can't go with it. Like oil and water. What are some of the causes of the hard heart? And then we can look at our life. Number one. كلام بغير ذكر الله. A lot of talk without the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why this hadith is not a strong hadith. Some ulama said it is. There's some debate about it, whether it's even a statement of sahabi. But ma'ana sahih. That states, do not speak in abundance بغير ذكر الله. Without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, an abundance of speech without the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَصْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ, makes the heart hard. وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِئِ. And indeed, the one who is the farthest from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one whose heart is hard. Number two, sins. Hadith from Imam al-Tirmidhi, which is a good hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed the servant of Allah, when he or she sins, a black dot is put on the heart of that person. فَإِن تَابَ مِنْهَا صُقِلَ قَلْبُ. If they repent, then the heart is clean of this black spot. But if they continue to sin and increase in sin, eventually the whole heart became black. رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And this is the rana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. The Prophet alayhi salatu salam said in a sound hadith, how should you look at your heart spiritually? You should look at your heart as a jar. If you put a lot of ru' alfa, what you call it, drink? Ru' alfa zin. Afza, sorry. If you have diabetes, don't drink that. You go into a coma. Some people do it straight from the bottle. But, oh geez. But if you put that in the jar and then you say, okay, now I want to drink some tea. You can't put both. So the Prophet alayhi salatu salam said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has vessels from amongst the people on this earth. And the vessels of your Lord are the hearts of the salihin. This hadith is sound hadith. And the most beloved of them to Allah are the softest and tender ones in the hearts. Rasulullah said, some people, their hearts are like birds, very soft. When was the last time you felt your heart is soft? It's hard. One brother came to me yesterday, he said, when I see my mother, my heart gets hard. It's this is a dangerous condition, akhi. The heart has to be soft, especially with your mom. So the vessel, if you fill it with kufr, if you fill it with sin, if you fill it with shahwa, if the heart is filled with desires and evil and filth, how can you fill it with khushu and iman? So it has to be filled with one or the other. Another reason for qaswat al-qalb, which people sometimes don't mention, is to turn away from what Allah sent. And to turn away from the revelation itself is to the heart like cyanide is to the body. It's over. And if you go to Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the story of the people of Moses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent this to you, 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 we did this to you, we sent this to you. Al-manna wa salwa wal kitab wa musa wa this and this and this and this wal furqan. And you kept turning away, you kept turning away, you kept turning away, you kept turning away. And finally Allah says, ثُمَّ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰرِكِ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ وَشَدْ قَصْوَ. And Allah used ثُمَّ. ثُمَّ means, after all of that, what happened? Your heart became hard. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنْ حَقٍّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمْرُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people before us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them time, and they kept turning away and turning away from His revelation. What was the outcome? The hearts became hard. To turn away from what Allah sent, make the hearts hard and will destroy the heart of the person. Ibn Qayyim says something beautiful. He said, the heart becomes sick as the body becomes sick. And its cure lies in repentance and asking Allah to protect you from evil. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. Three times in the morning, three times in the evening. Rasulullah used to make this dua. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. الأذكار. Number two, he said, the heart becomes rusty and the polish of this rust is الذكر. ذكر الله. Number three, if the heart becomes naked because of sin and evil, dress the heart in وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذلك خير. With taqwa. Number four, he said, the heart becomes hungry and thirsty as the body becomes hungry and thirsty. And its hunger and thirst is satiated through what? Through ilm. Through knowledge, love, reliance, repentance, and ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When does the khushu start? We go to hadith of Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. She said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يُحَدِّثُنَا وَنُحَدِّثُهُ فَإِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْنَا وَلَمْ نَعْرِفْهُ. She said that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he used to come into our homes and we used to talk. And when the time of prayer came, كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْنَا, as soon as the Prophet heard the adhan, it was though he didn't even know us anymore. And she said something interesting, وَلَمْ نَعْرِفْهُ, and we didn't know him. Al-khushu' starts with the adhan. Sometimes we think al-khushu' starts when I come to the salah, with the adhan itself. The khushu' it starts. Suwaydan ibn Ghafla, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he heard the adhan, كَأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفْ أَحَدًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. When he heard the adhan, it was though he didn't know one person from anyone. Sometimes in the masjid, when we sit and the adhan is called, we keep talking. We shouldn't talk. We should listen. Because you know when you have an important meeting, they have what? The call to order. In the call to order, everybody has to be quiet. In the courtroom, when the judge comes, arise, take off your hats, no talking. Now the court of Allah has been established with adhan. So we should be quiet. That's what the ulama, they said, even if you're reading the Quran, you should stop to listen to adhan. And the sunnah to what? To respond to the adhan. To respond quietly to the adhan. Also, we can take some points for our home. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, it's important to have the adhan in your house. Now, mashallah, on the computer, even on the cell phone, on your palm, you can have adhan now. And now they have the Chinese-made, interesting enough, adhan clocks. It's important to have this in your house. Number one, because when the adhan is called, shaitan, he runs away. Maybe, subhanAllah, brother and sister, they have a problem with each other. And suddenly the adhan is called, shaitan runs away and their hearts become soft and they fix their problem. Also, your children will learn adhan. When they hear the adhan, they will know it's time for salah, and also they will learn al-adhan. Because it has, mashallah, some social benefit as well. Not just spiritual. So in the home with the adhan. How did the people of khushu' understand adhan? We can take a look now at somebody who was khashi' lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the Rabbani of this ummah, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. One day Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was sitting with his students and the adhan was called. And he started crying. Nowadays it takes the most beautiful qari to make even one tear come from our eye. In fact, now we find some people that say, I don't like that qari. I like that qari. A'udhu billahi akhi. The Qur'an. I don't like that surah. I like that surah. Akhi, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas, just the adhan, he start crying. For us, we have to hear the adhan in Mecca. Maybe even to get a little tear from our eye. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he started crying. And his students, they were surprised. How come he's crying? What's making him cry? So they went to him. Ya Shaykh, we heard the adhan. You heard the adhan. You're crying. We're not crying. What's going on? عبد بن عباس, he said, لو يعلم الناس ما يقول المؤذن, if the people knew what the مؤذن, the one who makes adhan, was saying, they wouldn't rest ولا ناموا, and they wouldn't sleep. For us, maybe we said, how come? Because we're not from the people of khushu'. Now you're seeing it from the eyes of a khashi', the one who has khushu'. How he sees adhan, it's different than how we see adhan. Even his own students didn't see the adhan the way he saw it. He said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ نَاسُ مَا يَقُولُ مُؤَذِّنُ. If the people knew what the mu'adhin said, wallahi, they wouldn't take breaks and they wouldn't sleep. Then they said to him, tell us what the mu'adhin is saying. قَالَ إِذَا قَالَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرَ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرَ. He said, when the mu'adhin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. This is the wrong translation. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. He said, actually what he's saying, oh you people who are busy, empty yourself to adhan. تَفَرَّغُوا. Come to adhan, empty yourself to it. Come to the adhan and relax your bodies and come to the best of your actions. وَإِذَا قَالَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And when the muezzin says, I bear witness that there's no ilah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, he's saying, I bear witness. And everything in the heavens and the earth bears witness that I called you to salah. Everything that exists will be a witness against you. دَعَوْتُكُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. That I called you to salah. Then he said, when the muezzin says, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And we make a mistake. Many people, they say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. This is idgham. أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And also we make a mistake. People say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. هذا خطأ. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He said, if or when the muezzin says, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I bear witness that Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام is the messenger of Allah. He said, what it means is, he bears witness. The Anbiya bear witness to him, as well as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every one of them, that he called you to salah. Ya Allah. Every time he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, if we don't answer it, according to Ibn Abbas, all of the Anbiya, all of the prophets, including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be a witness that this person called us to salah and we didn't answer the salah. And now adhan became something different to us. Before adhan, adhan. Because we look at the adhan now through the eyes of khashi lillah. The one who has this khushu' to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he says, come to salah. Come to salah. It means, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established this deen for you, so establish this deen. And when he says, come to success, come to falah, it means come with humility to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. And when he says, la ilaha illallah, again in the end, it means again everything in the heavens and the earth is bearing witness to you about this salah. We stop here, inshaAllah ta'ala, for the adhan. وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم